What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you today. The Dubs take a loss against the Lakers in the preseason. Their third straight loss against the Lakers in the preseason. And they're going to play them for a fourth time on Friday. Going to break down the performance of the Dubs coming up next year on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. About to look into this Warriors game from last night. As you can tell in my voice, it was ugly, man. It was not very good. And anyone else who stayed up and watched the whole thing, like I did, you're just as sick in the head as I am. Because it was bad. It was bad. And you've heard me complain about the fact that the Warriors are playing the Lakers four times in the preseason. I can't wait till the preseason's over. I think it's ridiculous playing any team four times, especially when it's not the team that's closest in proximity to your team. And here's the other thing, too, that is a terrible idea by the Warriors, whoever decided to schedule four games against the Lakers in the preseason. The Warriors are a team that are trying to figure out their identity post-KD, post-Clay ACL, post-Iguodala, Livingston, etc. And they're going up against one of the best teams in the NBA four times in the preseason. And an oddly motivated Lakers team. They are taking the preseason very serious. Maybe it's because of the championship aspirations that they have, but they are going hard in these preseason games. And it shows when they're playing against the backups of the Warriors, the guys that aren't even going to be on the team. And some of the guys that are going to be on the team, and it's not looking great. But again, I mentioned before that it's a perfect matchup for certain players. First off, the Lakers are big. They are a big team. They basically play three centers at once. Kind of joking about LeBron being a center, but kind of not. You know, they play JaVale or Dwight, AD, and LeBron all at the same time. They've got Danny Green in the backcourt, who's a big shooting guard. Caruso, I know I'm annoyed with people talking about Caruso. He's solid, but I think the Caruso hive's a little out of control. But he's about, 6'5", so they've got some size back there as well. They're big all over the court, and the Warriors are not. The Warriors are incredibly small, especially with the injuries to Willie Cauley-Stein and Kevon Looney and Amari Spellman. So you saw a lot of Marquese Chris and Kavion Pippen going up against JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis. So it did not work out well. Steph, of course, did sit last night. Friday is said to be the quote-unquote dress rehearsal for the Warriors going into the season. And, I mean, I guess we'll have to wait and see how that goes. But, again, it's against one of the best teams in the NBA. Whoever decided that that was a good idea, I don't know, deserves some... What's the opposite of credit? Deserve some criticism. There we go. So with Steph sitting out, Glenn Robinson III was also under the weather. He did not play. So Alphonso McKinney and Jacob Evans started. On the very first play, you get a great pick and roll between D'Angelo Russell and Marquese Chris. And Chris throws down a vicious dunk. That dunk was the only point scored by the Dubs in the first 4 minutes. They struggled to get to 20 in the first quarter. D'Angelo Russell struggled early. Draymond Green struggled early. Everyone struggled early. It was pretty disgusting, pretty frantic. There were certain moments that stood out. Marquese Chris hit a three. And that's the other thing with Marquese Chris is even though he's their only active center and playing well, I'll give him credit, he's playing well, even though tonight was technically his worst game, which still wasn't that bad. I believe he had 8 points and four rebounds on 3 of 4 shooting. So you would like, I don't know, more of an impact. But the bottom line is when he did take shots, he was able to hit them. But like I was saying, even with Marquise Chriss, he's an undersized center. He's not a big center. So there were a number of problems that arose besides just the size at center. The Warriors, with Jacob Evans, he was a little tentative with his shot, and he's been more confident, more willing to take it this preseason, but still doesn't mean he's going to be Jordan Poole, who we'll get to in a minute, because, whew, that guy's confident. Jacob Evans, you know, was tentative at times. There was a funny sequence where he, you know, basically did two pick and pops with Eric Paschal, but he refused to shoot the first two times and then got it back a third time and missed the initial layup, then got the putback. He did knock down a three. Again, I'm still pleased with what I've seen from Jacob Evans this preseason. And when I talk about matchups, too, I talk about how this is a bad matchup for the Warriors. I do think they'll match up well against smaller teams and teams that aren't, you know, built to win championships. But that's not who they played. They played the Lakers, who are big and are trying to win a championship. One thing that also happened that I am going to absolutely hate to see this entire year is Quinn Cook came in. He had a great game. He had 18 points off the bench. He was knocking down everything. But it was just a reminder that I think he was brutally misused with the Warriors last year. I think he should have been an every night rotation player because he's that skilled and that good. It would have been nice to have him back this year as well. But I just think he was misused not being an every night rotation player. And not only because I think he could help the team, I think he's good enough to be that, but also because I think it would have prepared him better for the finals when he had to play a major role. So seeing Quinn Cook be used properly and shoot 40-plus percent from three while knocking down over 100 threes is going to – I'm going to love it and hate it. I'm going to love it because I'm a fan of Quinn Cook and his game and his story, and I'll be happy for him, but I'm going to hate it because he should have been doing it with the Warriors. So Quinn Cook came out. He was killing it, knocking down everything. And one thing that happened, too, is the Warriors are not going to be good defensively this year, but something that is frustrating – that carried over from last year when they did have good perimeter defenders, they would still give up a ton of open threes. And this year, through four preseason games, it doesn't look like that's changed. I mean, there were, I think about a minute into the fourth, the Lakers had shot 60% from three and were 15 of 24, which it honestly felt worse than that. Now, because of some pretty much a whole fourth quarter of garbage time, the Lakers ended up going 15 of 30 for 50%. But they were at 60% to start the fourth. And it was just, it was a bad game. It was a bad game for the Warriors, a bad matchup. And I'll be excited when they're not playing the Lakers every single game, whenever that starts. Whenever that starts. I do want to give Eric Paschal some credit. He was tasked with guarding LeBron a couple times and honestly did a good job. There was a nice sequence where LeBron had him on the post. And, make or miss league, it doesn't really matter how good a defense you play if they make it. But, man, I don't think you could have played better defense on LeBron in the post than Eric Paschal did. But LeBron goes ahead and knocks down a heavily contested shot in the post. Paschal on the other end gets it in the post. And he goes right at LeBron and knocks down a shot of his own. But then, guess what happens? On the other end, the same thing happens with Paschal and LeBron. Paschal's guarding him tight, and LeBron's able to knock down the shot. At a certain point, it's just LeBron James. It's just the best basketball player of all time, and there's nothing you can do. But I was still happy with the way that he played him and the defense that he did play. One good thing that did happen later in the game, D'Angelo Russell, not... I'll go with the he's still playing himself into form, playing himself into shape, but still not a great game from him. He ended up going 8 of 17 for 23 points. But one good thing did happen is he had been struggling from three. And still, I mean, the entire preseason, it's not like he's been knocking him down. But at one point in the third or fourth, he ended up knocking down back-to-back-to-back threes. So you're starting to see the three come into form, and that is going to be huge for him and the Warriors, because they ended up going 7 of 33 from 3 And the only other people who hit a three were Jacob Evans, Marquise Chris, and Jordan Poole. And this is a nice segue into Jordan Poole and his game tonight. That guy is a cold-blooded, zero-conscience gunner. I mean, he's an assassin, and I don't say it because he makes a ton of shots. He went 2 of 10 from the field, 2 of 9 from 3, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. So he ended up with 14 points, which isn't bad. But man, oh man, he shot 9 threes tonight, hit 2. And I'll tell you what, if he got the ball again beyond the arc, he was going to put it up. He was putting up shots, which on one hand I respect. On one hand, I think it's the way to go. The Warriors are going to need that. And there's going to be games where he goes 6 of 9 from 3 and is a major factor in a win. But there's also going to be these kinds of games where he's 2 of 9 from 3 and 2 of 10 from the field. But able to get to the free throw line 8 times is good work. It's intriguing work because the Warriors will struggle to get to the line. They always have, even when they did have KD. But as we know, no one really gets to the line on the Warriors. So if that's something that he can bring to his game, that would be big. But yeah, he has no conscience. And I kind of like it. Like I said, like, he's going to need it. The Warriors are going to need it when he's good and when he's bad. I don't know. Maybe you can try and manage it or put him down, sit him down or whatever. But he's going to get shots up regardless of where he is on the court. Ladies and gentlemen, Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. That is LOCKEDON at checkout. Now, with Friday's dress rehearsal approaching quick and Steph is going to play Draymond, D'Angelo Russell, you assume Glenn Robinson. It's hard to tell who will be injured and who won't be, but we won't be seeing Kevon Looney. We won't be seeing Willie Cauley-Stein. One person I didn't really talk about was Alphonso McKinney, and part of that is because there wasn't much to talk about. The way things are going, it seems more and more likely that he's going to be cut for Marquise Chris. He's got one last chance to prove himself on Friday, but does he even? I mean, it'll be interesting to see how much time he gets on Friday if he gets an opportunity to prove himself, because he's much better fitted as a role player on a team with, I don't want to say championship aspirations, but on a better team, because then the small things he does are of bigger impact. Where on a team like this, an offensive rebound here or there doesn't have the same impact that it did when you had 4 Hall of Famers on the floor with him or what have you. So that's one thing to look for. Also, Amari Spellman, what's his deal? I know he's got a minor injury from the second game against the Lakers. So we'll see what happens with him, if he plays or not. Like I said, I think the Warriors would prefer to trade Spellman and keep Marquise Chris instead. But then the other part is the fact that they don't know if Kevon Looney will be ready for game one. So then, to an extent, Spellman is also valuable because he's another center. Almost a center. Kind of a center. However you want to look at it. The big things I'm looking for on Friday are Steph. I need to see a lot out of Steph. And D'Angelo Russell. He's working his way into form and working his way into being a Warrior and how he fits with the team. Now he fits in the second unit, etc. But you just need to see more. Would like to see a solid 3-point shooting night. He went 3 of 8 tonight. Can we get an even better one? Those are the things I'm going to be looking for on Friday, as well as Jordan Poole. You know, I had mentioned him before. He had 2 really nice games to start the preseason. Really efficient, but then I had mentioned there's going to be inefficient ones, and he came out with 2 inefficient ones. Now, can he bounce back with 2 good ones? Who knows? Who knows what the pattern's going to be, but can he bounce back? Because this was a rough night for him also. A lot of things going on with the Warriors this year. It's going to be an interesting season. That's all I know. Because there's obviously going to be the major burden on Steph and Draymond and D'Angelo, and can they find anyone else to contribute? I mean, I'm excited for the season to start. I'll be excited to stop playing the friggin' Lakers. That's for sure. That is for damn sure. But one more game against the Lakers on Friday for the dress rehearsal. It'll be worth watching, obviously a lot more worth watching than this one, because I think there will be things that we can actually take from it rotation-wise and roster-wise. Draymond spoke with the media after the game, and I thought he had the right outlook when it comes to this rebuild, retinkering, what have you, and we're going to do that in just a minute. So Draymond Green was interviewed after the game, and Draymond didn't have a great game himself either. His offense is his offense. I mean, who are we kidding at this point? His scoring ability is what it is at this point. So to think he's going to come out and shoot 40% and average 20 points a game or something, he's not going to do that. But he was asked about whether it's hard to stay patient through this reboot, as it was called. Here's what he had to say.
Is the patience hard? Is it hard to be patient?
No.
It is what it is. Not being patient ain't going to speed it up. So, it is what it is. You know, you got to do what we got to do to continue to get better. Like I said, it'll all come in.
Now, I think that's great outlook on his part, because he's right. Not being patient isn't going to speed it up. The only way they're going to get through it is the work. The work that it takes to get through it. And time. So, Draymond's got the right idea. But at the same time, man, when we're watching this stuff and getting frustrated, I can't imagine how frustrated they are. Thank you guys so much for listening to Locked On Warriors. I'll be back tomorrow to wrap the week up with another episode here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.